Welcome to On the Edge with April Mahoney Brains. Here, this is the spot where the conversation is pointed, the guests are sharp, and the responses are never dull. Welcome home, brains. There's only one requirement to hang out on the edge, is that you open your big brain and close your small mind. Did you bring your thinking caps? It's time to put them on, because the conversation starts now.
Raw footage, girl. You got to have a mug. You ain't paid until you've been, you know. Do you got the mug?
Yes, honey.
You are on the edge, baby. What you got in your mug? I got coffee in mine today. What you got?
Oh yes, coffee. Got to have my Starbucks.
Really?
French roast. Yes.
Oh, really? So you have do you have a Keurig that you put your little thing?
Absolutely.
I was a brand ambassador for them. And I'm also a stockholder in Starbucks. They give Starbucks such a hard time. Starbucks to me is stellar.
Oh yes, honey. I love my Starbucks. Gotta have it.
They treat the people right. You know, they have some mishaps, but they're the first like fast food or restaurant type deal that gave them benefits and educational reimbursement and all that kind of stuff.
Well, I'm not mad at him.
So, Grace, look at who's here with us today. I'm so excited to have her. This is Rhonda Wood. Let me tell you who this queen is. Oh, yes. I've seen her. She is all on billboards and magazine covers and speaking. I mean, she is really out there as an advocate for mental health. She works with NAMI. Let me make sure I got that acronym right. Is that the National Association for Mental Health?
National Alliance for Mental Illness.
Mental illness.
Yes.
Well, you know what, brains? She's doing it. And she's living with her daughter. Her daughter is thriving, and she has some, you know, some challenges with mental health, but there is no shame associated. And we're going to talk about that for colored people. Yeah,
yes.
Colored people. Because absolutely. We don't come up out the shell. We don't talk about that. And mental illness, there is no shame associated with it. It's just like cancer or heart disease or anything else that could possibly go wrong. We just don't know how to deal with it. And it's scary because we can't see it. But Rhonda is going to pull back the layers like an onion and explain it to us. Thank you so much for being here, Rhonda Wood.
Thank you so much for having me. I am so excited. You know, I love talking about mental health and awareness and advocacy. I could do it all day, every day in my sleep and with my hands tied behind my back.
Oh, boy. Well, yeah. Tell us a little bit about your story and how it all began for you and where you are and how you've shown up in the world.
Sure, absolutely. So my journey actually began while I was working for corporate America. I mean, there I was in my corporate job. I mean, I'm talking like a high level, high powered, you know, corporate company, one of the most influential law firms in the nation. And I'm there and, you know, just like every corporate business person, we want to climb that corporate ladder, right? I mean, that was like my dream. I wanted to, you know, reach the top. And so one day I noticed, you know, and also, you know, I'm a mother of a teen. So like every mother, you know, we have that dream of, you know, love and laughter and a bright future for our children. We love to be that provider, you know, of and being able to enhance them and nurture them. And so one day I noticed that those dreams sort of drastically changed, right? I noticed that my daughter, my teen daughter was struggling a little bit with long bouts of depression. You know, her sadness were kind of extended. They weren't just, oh, I had a bad day. It was, I had a bad week or I've had a bad 2 weeks. And so I noticed that that was a little outside of the norm. So I decided to, you know, seek some professional help after a while. And so when I did that, you know, I felt like things drastically changed for me because then I had the diagnosis. The diagnosis was major depression disorder, major anxiety disorder. She also had a mood disorder, which is bipolar, and she also was having suicidal ideations.
Oh, yikes.
Yes, wow. Yes. Wow. Now, you know, the first thing as a mom, you're like, man, like, what did I do? We want to blame, you know, I wanted to blame myself. But the first thing I wanted to do is I was like, well, how do I fix this? Like, I wanted to be able to take the boo-boo away And I realized that I just did not have the power to do that. So I felt very helpless and hopeless in that situation.
Let me ask a question. Let me interject here. Were you a single parent at that time, or was it you and the father?
I was a single parent at that time.
Oh,
yeah.
Wow.
Yes. Wow. So made it
was the father involved in her life at all?
Yes, but see, I think part of the difference is, especially in our community, you know, amongst people of color, is when you hear things like depression, we kind of brush it off like, oh, you know, it's a bad day.
Right,
she'll get
right,
over
right.
it. She'll right. snap out of it. Mm-hmm. Give her some time, you know. And, you know, by me getting the diagnosis and getting a little bit more education and becoming a little bit more aware, I had more information like, no, this is real. So that was one of my challenges, too, was I felt like I did not have the compassion and the understanding and the support that I so desperately
yeah.
needed at that time. And I think it's and that's very common in the Black community, unfortunately.
Wow. So springboarding ahead, you get the diagnosis and you're working with her and she's realizing that all of these things are going on. She's having this additional conversation in her head. What was the breaking point? What was the turnaround?
So we started to go to get therapy, professional therapy. And I actually started to go to support groups because I was like, I can't be the only one that's going through this.
Girl, and you know what? And that's what people don't do. That's
yeah.
what my mother was passing away. That was the first thing I got was a grief recovery specialist to get the angst off of me.
Yeah.
You're holding so much for the other person. You're holding that space. That there is limited bands with for you.
Absolutely. And I applaud you for doing that because, you know, it takes a lot of courage and a lot of power. I think sometimes in our community, even in the business environment, we want to project this image that we're strong, in control, and in charge. We don't want to look weak. We don't want to look like we don't know what we're doing. We don't want to look like we're having a bad day. So we love wearing this mask because, again, we want to. Sometimes, you know, even in my corporate world, there are many times I was the only woman or I was the only person of color. So I felt like there was even more pressure. Like,
right.
I'm not going to tell these people that, you know, there's right. mental health challenges at home. You know, they're looking
right,
for
right.
me to leave this meeting.
Because
so
the first thing they're going to say, well, you know, your work performance is being affected by something that's going on in your home and you're a little distracted and that's throwing you off here at work and yada, 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 and whoop-de-whoop. But you didn't have that experience. You had supportive people behind you. And I love that.
Exactly. So, you know, I got involved with NAMI, National Alliance on Mental Illness. They are a nonprofit. They're a grassroots company. It was started by two single moms, actually, who had children who had diagnosis of mental health challenges. So I started going to their support groups. I met other moms who were supporting loved ones or children who had a mental health diagnosis. So I kind of had that backing, which was awesome. And I was able to get the support and the encouragement and the resources that I needed.
Absolutely.
So a few months in, you know, so I actually took leave from work. That was the best decision I ever made. I started going to professional therapy. Best decision I ever made. In the support groups with NAMI. Best decision I ever made. Three things that sometimes we don't like to do.
Wow.
NAMI actually contacted me and said, Rhonda, we would love to have you share your journey, your story on a panel. And I thought they had the wrong number. I said, you want me to share my story publicly? Okay, wait a minute. I've only shared this story privately behind the closed doors in the therapist's office. And they said, no, we want you to share publicly. There are other parents who we would love to have you share. There's going to be elected officials in the room. They need to hear that mental health needs to be a part of their election platform. So I said, okay, well, that sounds important. So I get on the panel. I share my story for about 15 or 20 minutes. Now, my strategy was, Rhonda, get up there and share your story and then hurry up and sit down.
Right.
So I get up there. I share my story. And I shared it very I mean, raw and authentic. Like I talked about how I was at my wit's end. That's not something I obviously wanted work to know, but I said, let me be open and honest with my story. I talked to them about how I had to check my daughter's room to make sure she hadn't hurt herself or tried to harm herself, to make sure I saw the covers going up and down, because then I knew that she was still breathing. I
shared also too, the risk that you run the sheet, you know, is not going to hurt you.
Exactly. Yes, it does. And it does. And there's, you know, and that's a reality. I shared the fact that I now had a new normal. I actually wrote an article about that. It's called My New Normal, because I realized this was not something that was going to turn around in a short period of time. We were actually on a new journey. And I realized how much I needed the resources and the support that I was getting, as well as how much my daughter really needed the support and the encouragement. She needed me to stand by her. She needed me to listen to her. She needed me to have this open, you know, dialogue with her where she could just vent and there was no judgment.
Right.
No stigma.
But you know, there's a lot of challenges that come up is trying to get that cocktail right. What is the medication? You know, I had a friend, unfortunately, bless his heart. He was getting injections because his mental illness, and he would get an injection. It was supposed to last 3 months. It took him all over the place. I looked on the news one day, girl, he is stripped butt naked on the Southwest Airlines plane. They ran the plane to get him down. He was a military veteran. He was getting support. And NAMI was really a part of his family's breakthrough to kind of help him facilitate. But unfortunately, he committed suicide. It didn't go well for him. But mental health is out there and it's in the mainstream. Even with police officers, I tell people all the time, when you call the police, you ain't calling them for milk and cookies, baby. You calling them because there is a challenge. And they show up, and all that they've known is dysfunction and problems every time they show up. They're not the perp team. They are not equipped to deal with mental health. And then we have another situation to where someone is, you know, because the person that is mentally ill is afraid too.
Absolutely. Absolutely. You know, it's unfortunate. That's why I am so passionate about what I do. I love, and it's such a need to spread awareness and advocacy. So when, for example, when I gave that 15, 20 minute speech, I can't believe I got a standing ovation, but I had a few people come up to me. I was blown away. That's what, when I saw the people coming up to me and telling me how much my story helped them, that's when I realized, wow, this isn't something I can just talk about behind closed doors. This is important in the community. Police officers need to know the difference between someone who's having a mental health crisis and someone who's actually a criminal, and what to do in each event. The same thing in the school. I felt like the things that my daughter went through in the classroom, the teachers, the administrators, they need to know the difference between someone who's in need of some mental health resources versus somebody who has a behavioral issue. Because a person who's having a crisis, a person who's maybe having anxiety, should not be sent to in-school suspension. And then there was my example. I'm in a professional environment at work. And so if I am stating that I have someone who is in a mental health crisis, there should not be I should not be penalized. I should not feel like my job or my position is at risk. So that's why I said across the board, you know, in the community with police officers, in our work environments and in our schools, like I'm literally spreading advocacy from the classroom to the boardroom.
You are. But I want to dial back to a little bit about some of the options with medications. Did you have, you know, a challenge to try to figure out what was the right thing? You know, and then a lot of times, you know, you have people that self-medicate.
Yes.
You know, and so it's very confusing. Walk us through that a little bit.
Right. So first, I know that sometimes there's some reluctancy to take medication for mental illness.
But any kind of illness, girl, I don't even
know. Right. But, you know, even for me, I feel like we need to take our mental health just as serious as we do our physical health. If you had a physical ailment, you would get it treated in the same way we need to treat our mental health the same way. And so you're right. There was the issue of trying to find the right combination, the right dosage, you know. So, for example, my daughter may have been prescribed a antidepressant or an anti-anxiety. It was okay, which medication out of this list? What is the dosage? If she had a reaction to it, then we had to reduce the dosage, take her off of it, try something new, sometimes add a second drug that works with it. I mean, literally finding, okay, what is the right combination that will give you some relief and the result that you're looking for so that you can function. Now, that is a healthy skill. What we don't want is to have some unhealthy coping skills. Some people say, oh, the medicine isn't working or it's taking too long, because it does. It takes a while, a good almost 6 to 8 weeks before you even see the difference. So you're taking this medicine not even knowing yet, is it going to work for me? You get to your 6 weeks, you report back to your doctor, and you either say, hey, I'm having side effects, or it's not working, or it's not strong enough, or it makes me feel tired, sleepy, brain fog, you know, I'm not happy, I don't want to do this. And so there definitely is this period of time where you're trying to figure out what is going to work. Some people get frustrated during that time and they want to turn to unhealthy coping skills, which is the drugs, the alcohol, the toxic relationships, the self-harm of yourself or wanting to harm others because things aren't going well.
Wow. And so you hung in there with us. So tell us, where is she in the world now and what is she doing? I heard she is at the top of her game.
Oh, wow. You would be so proud. So
I am proud. Both of you.
Yeah. So my daughter, despite, man, would you believe, I mean, she could not make it through a school day without getting triggered, without her anxiety or sometimes her bouts of sadness coming to the surface. And there were times when I had to, you know, there was a period of time when I had to homeschool her, and I'm thinking, Lord Jesus, I'm not sure if she is actually going to be able to graduate. Well, I am so pleased to tell you that last year, instead of her graduating with a high school diploma, which was the year 2020, instead of graduating with a high school diploma, in addition to me homeschooling, she took classes at the community college. She earned 60 credits towards an associate's degree in psychology. So instead of a high school diploma in 2020, she has an associate's degree in psychology. And this year, starting last month, she is actually in her third year of college. She's at University of Maryland, taking credits to earn her bachelor's degree in psychology. She is also, she followed in mom's footsteps. I'm so proud of her. She is also a mental health empowerment speaker. She has 3 published articles, and she advocates for youth, teens, and young adults. And what she's doing is she's helping to shatter the mental health stigma. And let me tell you, when she goes into schools and social services departments and she speaks to those young people, they are not on their phones. They are not on their social media. They are laser focused on what she is saying, because she's speaking very openly, honestly, and raw about what she has gone through, knowing that a lot of people in the audience are probably going through the same thing, but are afraid to come forth and say it.
I know. Yes. What do you say to parents right now that are out there struggling?
Man. The number one thing I'd like to say is to make sure you take care of yourself. It's really, you know, put your self-care as a priority. I know that sounds a little bit backwards, but it really was difficult for me to be there to support my daughter in the way that she needed to be supported fully. You know, for me, that meant I had to step away from work. There was too much stress in trying to help her and trying to work this high demand job. But I had to take care of myself. I actually started going to my own professional therapy sessions. I'd also like to encourage parents to hang in there with your children when they start struggling. Listen to them, take it seriously, get them the support and the help they need. I know sometimes we don't want certain things on their health records. We don't want, you know, them to you know, people to see, oh, that they're, you know, seeing a mental health specialist. That is the best decision we made. It has helped her tremendously. You know, having that active listening to what they're saying, you know, and creating an environment in which they can come to you. I think that's one of the biggest challenges that I hear from young people and their relationship with their parents is they don't feel like they can talk to them, or they feel like if they do, they either won't be believed, won't be taken seriously, or their parents are going to try and sweep it under the rug.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, you know, you don't want nobody at the church talking about your child. Hallelujah. You
yes.
know, you don't want them to, you know, come up out of it. You figure that somebody could sprinkle some holy water or talk to the pastor and everything gonna be fine. But you know what? God wants you to get in there in the trenches and do some of the work too, because there's a lesson in all of this. And you yes. are just really shining. I mean, like I said, you got a billboard, girl. You know, that is Diva. That is Diva 500 right there.
I tell you,
know, that's great. And you have been published in Women's Magazine. Tell us a little bit about you being an author. What's in the pages of your book? And how are you getting all these amazing accolades?
Yeah, so let me tell you a little bit about my book. I'm so excited about it. So it's not yet out yet. It's soon to be released. Okay. So my book is called Truths. I love that. I love that. That's the first word. Truths, Traumas, and Triumphs. And so this book, it guides readers from those broken places to their breakthroughs, and it inspires them to step away from the secrets, step away from the silence, step away from the shame, and step away from the stigma. It inspires them to stand in their truth. You know, all of those things that keep us, that can prevent us from having that emotional wellness. Right. The positive emotional wellness. Those are things, you know, I see people, they're struggling with the shame. They're struggling with the stigma. They're struggling in silence. There are secrets that have been kept through generations, you know, and being able to release all that. So that's what this book talks about. There's some juicy chapters in there. And the last thing that it does is it really encourages people. It helps them to see, you know what, some of those things that happen to us, you know, in terms of mental health, the things that we're going through, that was not how our life was designed to be. And I encourage people to, you know, once you step away from those things, you kind of get more clarity. You kind of have more freedom to be able to step into the things in which your life was designed. So almost like embracing your destiny, embracing the reason you were put here on this earth. Now, for me, I never thought in a million years, my dream was to climb the corporate ladder. I wanted to be like a Fortune 500 CEO. Never in a million years did I think I would be speaking so openly and honestly about my mental health struggles or my daughter's mental health struggles, or, you know, traveling, like I said, from the classroom to the boardroom and sharing this journey with people. I just see how much impact it's making, and I see how much it helps people. And so, I just want to, you know, this book is meant to encourage people to kind of do that. And in terms of the, you know, the billboards and the magazines and the covers and being able to, you know, people, when you are sort, you know, first of all, let me say this, everything happens for a reason. I love how God just recycles our experiences, you know, all of those, you know, everything we went through, nothing is in vain. He uses everything. So, you know, I never thought that, like I said, I didn't even think my daughter's going to graduate from high school, but I am so glad that we were able to take those experiences and do something great. God is getting all the glory. So those billboards and the magazines and the covers and the podcast and the, you know, all of these interviews and everything, this is just my way of giving back. God has been so good to us. I'm so happy that my daughter, I mean, there were times when I was like, man, I don't know if she's going to make it to her 18th birthday. And, you know, like I said, and here she is 19 and in her third year of college. She's like 2 years ahead of her time.
And okay, so now that she's breaking through, how are you going to reinvent yourself? How are you pivoting? So you still have all of this experience and you know, degrees and all of that kind of stuff. How are you going to be that Fortune 500 person, CEO for mental health, or where do you see yourself?
Well, I'm just going to, I am building my own franchise. I'm building my own legacy, and I'm doing it globally. I don't want, you know, I've been working a lot with my local community, but I see that this is a need worldwide.
Oh, honey.
This is across the country, other continents. It is not just an issue here in the States. It's certainly not an issue just on the East Coast. So I am building my own enterprise. So that Fortune 500 or however many hundred it's going to be, it's going to be, yes, through Rhonda M. Wood. And I just have this real deep.
Is it going to be Is it a component of that going to be mental health?
Oh, absolutely. Most of it is going to be related to mental health. I have a institute or an academy, if you will, that's called HOLA, H-O-L-A. It's called Heal Out Loud Academy.
Oh, wow.
And it's all about mental health, allowing people to heal out loud. Again, not stepping away from the secrets, the silence, the shame, and the stigma. Being able to heal out loud is the best thing you can do. So that's what that academy does. I also have a Win From Within workshop. Because, you know, once you get rid of all that stuff on the inside and you're able to heal out loud, then you start to win from within out. A lot of what I wanted, I realized were outside accolades, which I'm still getting, but they have right. a purpose attached to them.
Yes, they do, girl. They have to tether you down because, again, if you don't live within your purpose, it's not authentic. And it's not about other people, you know. If you don't have it within you, you can't exude it out. And there's such a stigma when something's wrong with women.
Yes.
Drugs, if it's alcohol, if it's mental health, if it's postpartum, if it's weight, it's always a woman's thing. And this is the age of Aquarius, honey. Women are in a softer cell. We are ready to do it. But if we do not embrace it, talk about it, and deal with it, we're going to be stuck.
Yes. Yes, I definitely feel like we live in a world where there are expectations that the world puts on us, but sometimes those expectations are self-imposed. We put them on ourselves. We say, oh, I got to do this, or I got to act like this, and I got to, you know, achieve this, because what will other people think? Mm-hmm. Or, you know, sometimes it's family, sometimes it's a spouse, you know, who puts these expectations on us. And so, you know, that's the world where we live in. But you know what? Women are doing great things. Let me just say.
They really are.
At the things in which we are accomplishing. I really feel like women are major trailblazers and influencers right now. Most of them are, a lot of women are rising up out of those ashes. And so I want to be able to, yes, let's keep that motivation going. Let's continue to encourage and empower each other. Let's continue to share our stories, helping people heal out loud and win from within, you know, so that, you know, they don't, again, so that they can reset their value, so that they can renew those visions. So that they can restore their purpose, the reason why they were put here in the first place, and so that they can rediscover that voice.
Mm. Well, your voice is ringing loud and clear. Mm-hmm. I'm so glad to have had you here on The Edge. Wow, the time really flies. Brains, please, please, please. All I can do is please. And what we're trying to do is bring awareness to dilute the shame, to give you options and choices to live out loud, to win within, to thrive, to find the great recipe for success, whatever that medication may be. Listen to your children, love them, love yourself, find time for yourself, check in with yourself. Maybe you're the one that has a mental illness challenge and you're not identifying with that. Yeah. There is no shame associated. Employers, give your people some time.
Yes.
Your employees are your biggest investment.
Yes.
And if you don't give this mother time to go pick up their child, so what, they picked them up 2 days ago? They gonna get the work done. You know, if you are not there to pour into them with resources and benefits, you know, you never know what's going on in the back of the boardroom. Some of those people have mental illness challenges, or their children do, or the corporate environment will bring them on. So whatever it is, we want you to win. Rhonda, please tell my brains how to get in contact with you. So I want them to talk to you. I want them to visit with you, support you. And again, drive by and see one of them billboards. I'm telling you, she's looking like brand new money.
Thank you so much. So the best way to get in contact with me is to visit 10kronda.com. That's 10krhonda.com. There you can follow me on social media. You can join my VIP book launch list. You can message me and you can grab my downloadable freebie. It's called 7 Tips to Ignite Your Passion and Purpose, because we all about that purpose now.
Nice. You about to set it on fire. Well, thank you, Flames. And I need you to go in and like, love, share, and subscribe this information. I just feel she's just so bubbly and perky, but it's sincere. And I can listen to her talk forever because she's got you excited. She's passionate about what she does. People are not passionate about talking about mental health. There's always a shame or a stigma or downtrodden, but she's on fire for glory and for good. Thank you so much. Give your daughter a big old supersize hug from me and all of the brains. Tell her we are so proud of her. And we're going to put all your contact information there. When the book comes out, send it to me. I'm going to promote it. Okay?
Absolutely. Thank you so much, April. I appreciate you a ton.
I do. All right, brains. I'm loving on you and that big brain, too.